The Diva Influence. True love and fulfillment. These are the two most sought-after commodities in all the world. If everyone wants them, why aren't they more available? Perhaps we're looking in the wrong places. Or perhaps we attach an unachievable definition to our dreams that guarantees their escape from us. But for a true diva, the search for these precious commodities can never be in vain, because she becomes the originator of what she seeks. Read John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. Behind the Veil. Squinting into the noonday sun, she prepared herself, mind and body, for the trek to the well. The path was clear. No one would be there now. The blazing orb in the sky at its fullest had resigned the city to a time out until the heat retreated and allowed those beneath its supervision to breathe and move again. This was the time she preferred to take the winding path in solitude, oblivious to the heat that saturated her clothes, making them heavier than they were, while taking the extra effort to draw wind through her nostrils. This was far easier to endure than the stares of disapproval that met her any time she encountered the citizens of the city. How ironic that the arms of one good man could leave her lonelier than ever. Perhaps it wasn't fair to phrase it that way. After all, she had had 5 husbands. She knew many of the women in town were angry with her because they hadn't had one, and she had exhausted their options in their opinion. Those who were married avoided her, tugging their husbands behind them, should she get any ideas to add to the list of suitors who seemed to line up awaiting their turn. Even the maids they sent to the well behaved as if they must protect the interest of their mistresses by refusing to offer her any pleasantries. All she wanted was love and peace. Was that too much to ask? What was a woman to do? She, who could not control the ways of men, did not allow death or abandonment to cause her to remain loveless. She merely moved on to the next available arms. And though she was not alone, she found herself very lonely. After all, a man can only fill so much space in a woman's heart and bed before she begins to long for other avenues of fellowship to complete her. A wry smile curled the corner of her lips as she contemplated her peer's condemnation. Oh well, why do anything halfway? It simply was not her style. If she must be disliked, why not go all the way? Be despised for being a Samaritan woman and a woman with a questionable past. She was beyond feeling anymore. She merely erected her own personal boundaries to deflect the arrows others sought to throw. Some might have thought her haughty. She called it doing what she had to do to protect herself. After all, at the end of the day, man or no man, she was all she had. Lost in her thought, she heard him before she saw him. "Give me a drink," he said. The soft-spoken request jolted her from the depths of her thoughts and transported her into a pair of eyes that looked as if they held 1,000 secrets. Eyes that for once did not look through her. Though they looked at her, they did not lust for her. Instead, they seemed to penetrate even deeper, to a place where her very soul was unmasked in one glance. And then she noticed his clothes, the clothes of a Jewish rabbi. Why was a Jewish rabbi addressing her? Before she could think, the words escaped her. How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask for a drink from a Samaritan woman? Didn't he know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans? That rabbis did not converse with women openly in public, especially alone. She was used to conversing with men. That wasn't a problem. But this unusual man...